Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, welcoming onto the program one of our favorite guests, Dr. Robert Murphy, professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine, who you see every weekday morning just after the 7 a.m. news on the WGN TV morning news. Happy Sunday to you, Dr. Murphy.
Hey, good morning.
Have you been outside yet? It's a gorgeous morning out there.
It's really, yesterday was nice, and today is even better.
Never know there's a global pandemic going on with
the... No, you wouldn't.
Number one, you know, because it's so lovely outside, but number two, more and more, we're just seeing people in a much more relaxed mode now, and people without their masks now. Is that a good thing, that people are getting a little more relaxed?
Well, you know, this pandemic is not a forever thing. It does end. And we have apparently at least kind of turned the corner. We've got to be vigilant. I mean, look what's happening in India right now.
Right.
You know, they've only had two waves. We've had three. And we just better not have a fourth one. That's the whole thing.
I was reading about that this morning, that India's cases of COVID right now are more than 40% of the world's new cases. That's how dramatic it is there.
It's really a disaster.
Is it because they didn't follow protocols? Is that because they weren't able to get access to the vaccines once they were available?
Well, you know, it's a kind of an interesting, crazy story in that India produces most of the vaccines in the world. They're the biggest producer.
Really?
Yeah, they make 60% of all the vaccines.
Really?
I mean, for everything, not just for COVID, but they do make COVID vaccines. But they've got the technology, and of, you know, countries that are middle income like India, they've vaccinated probably the fewest people.
Interesting.
Less than 2% of the people are fully vaccinated.
Why do you suppose that is? It's just not physical access to people who are able to deliver the vaccine?
I'm not, you know, 100% aware of exactly what the problem is there.
Right.
But, I mean, come on. This pandemic is not new. It's over a year old. It's basically a management issue, management and supply chain.
Right. Apparently, much of South America also is doing poorly with this. Uruguay, Paraguay, mm-hmm. Brazil, Peru, Argentina, Colombia are among the nations with the highest number of COVID deaths per mm-hmm. capita. Probably the same reasons, I suppose, as India, right?
Well, Latin America is a lot more complicated because some of the countries like Peru have really tried very hard to do the right thing, do the lockdowns, import the vaccines. You know, they've kind of played by the book, and they're still having a terrible, terrible problem. Whereas Brazil has completely thrown the book out the window.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, I feel so sorry for Brazilians because their leadership in this area is so bad.
Kind of speaks to the anti-vaxxers, doesn't it? When you hear things like this in countries in which the COVID cases are still skyrocketing, surging, these people mm-hmm. that say, I'm not going to get a vaccine, this will all be over soon. Except we look at these other countries, and this is what happens when you don't get a vaccine, it seems
right.
to me.
And this is what's going to happen in the United States if we don't reach herd immunity. So we've got to get a certain proportion, high proportion of the population vaccinated. And then most likely this thing is going to go away, or it's going to get down to something that's really very manageable. And we don't know what that percentage is, that proportion is. It could be anywhere from 65 to 95%. It's a guessing game at this particular point. But, you know, if people just stop getting vaccinations, we're going to be in trouble.
Right. So where are we with, you know, vaccinations? The Johnson & Johnson controversy came and was resolved mm-hmm. by the CDC. Yet I'm still hearing people who are having trouble getting an appointment. I'm still hearing people who absolutely do not want to get their vaccinations, or maybe they got one and had some kind of reaction, and now they don't want to get the other one.
The vaccine supply is definitely higher than the vaccine volunteers to take the vaccine, the patients to take the vaccine. That's changed in the last couple of weeks. Many of these vaccination centers now offer walk-ins at a certain time. A month ago, that was unheard of. Nobody could just walk into a vaccine center. So things are changing in terms of supply on to the good side. As far as the vaccine, the anti-vaxxers, well, there's anti-vaxxers and there's vaccine hesitant. There's the people that, are convincible that taking a vaccine will be good for them. And it's going to start playing out in areas like travel, getting into certain buildings, venues, where people are going to have to be vaccinated or they're not going to be let in. Yeah. And I think that, and looking at all the safety data, continue very closely, I think the hesitant ones will move over to the vaccine side. I think that's possible. The anti-vaxxers, there's no hope.
Right. Yeah, they've just made up their mind.
They've already made up their mind. They don't care. They don't care how much risk they give the rest of the population. They're very selfish human beings who don't care that there's a pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's one thing if you're going to do something to harm yourself, but if that action is going to harm other people, now it's a different story. If you're a drunk driver, it's bad that you're a drunk driver, but it's even worse when you get in the car and you kill a family who happen to be walking down the street because of your irresponsibility. That doesn't make sense to me. The other day, the mayor announced loosening of restrictions. Really around the country, people are announcing the loosening of restrictions. Mm-hmm. Concerts are being scheduled mm-hmm. for later on this year for autumn. Ravinia is going to be announcing its schedule this week. Should people, be hesitant about attending these things if they have had both of their vaccines?
Well, the whole point is vaccines work. They protect you. They're 90% to 95% protective of even getting the disease, and almost 100% prevention of severe disease, hospitalization, and death. I mean, there have been huge studies in Israel and in the United States with hundreds of thousands of people monitored, and the vaccine works. It's time that we can start moving, more towards, pre-pandemic activities. Yeah. But it's going to be stepwise.
For, example, today is the Greek Easter. Families are going to be getting together, gatherings together. Is that safe? Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Families are going to want to get together. In many cases, someone hasn't been able to hug their mom or their kids in a year, and they're anxious to do it. So if everyone is vaccinated,
Vaccinated, it's safe.
Even kids that are not vaccinated, little kids?
The guidelines are a little bit maybe difficult to understand. Families are now allowed, the guidance, there's no law here, the guidance is that they can get together if all the adults are vaccinated. That will lower the overall vaccination rate to the group enough that it's safe. Now, if somebody in that group has an immunocompromised disease, they have cancer, they have HIV, they're on steroids for something, those people are very much at risk, and they have to use the usual mitigation, 6 feet away and double masking and the like. But the rest of them, it turns out the kids aren't giving it to the adults so much. It could be that, kids play by themselves more. Kids are so much smaller than most of the adults mm-hmm. that, the transmission to the adult is not that high.
Right.
Nothing is without risk. So, you have to weigh your pros and cons and make a decision.
So did you say that people with cancer or HIV or other immunocompromised conditions might still be vulnerable even if they have been vaccinated?
It depends. It's not every cancer and not everybody with HIV. If they have very well-controlled HIV, they're taking their medicine, their virus is undetectable, their CD4 count is relatively high. The people with HIV know what I'm talking about. Then it's okay. You know, it's the ones that aren't treated, that are doing poorly.
Uncontrolled.
The same thing with the cancers. You're right, uncontrolled. And the same thing with cancers. You know, if they had a cancer and they're in remission, they're not on any treatment now, you know, that's most likely okay too. But it's the ones that are receiving chemotherapy, the ones with a chronic type of leukemia or something like that.
Got it.
They have to be careful.
Let's get some questions for Dr. Robert Murphy, 312-981-7200, if you'd like to text or call in, 312-981-7200. 630 area code. Dr. Murphy says, I was given an IV steroid in the ER 48 hours after my second Moderna vaccine. Has the efficacy of my vaccine been compromised?
That's a good question. Probably not, because it was after the vaccine. So in other words, the vaccine presented itself to the immune system. The immune system responded. Now, it's kind of a gray area with this one. We don't know. And unfortunately, there's no test available today anyway that can tell you if the vaccine worked. But if it was a single injection and after the vaccine, that goes in your behavior, on your behalf. Ideally, it's 2 weeks after that. You know, most of the response you get from the vaccine is 2 weeks later. In this case, it's a little early. So this person has to be a little bit careful.
Okay. All right. 847 area code. I've heard there have been people infected with COVID-19 after they've had both of their vaccine doses. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Remember I said it's 90 to 95% effective. So that means 10%. 5-10% can get it. Now, those people may still be protected from severe disease. So if they get infected, they're much more likely to have a milder disease, not end up in the hospital, and not dying from it. So that's a secondary kind of effect of the vaccines.
All right. Yeah. 708 says, you said that immune-compromised people are still at risk. Mm-hmm. I have diabetes. I'm a teacher. I'm told it's okay to be back in the classroom. I'm 64 years old. Am I safe?
Yeah. Okay. The risk is a little bit higher with this person, but if the diabetes is well controlled and they're in otherwise good health and they've had the vaccine, both vaccines, it should be okay.
All right.
It's an acceptable risk.
Yeah, I'm hearing the pattern in your answers that if your condition is a controlled condition, you're going to do better than if it's not in control.
Right, exactly.
Here is the 847 area code. If I did not have major side effects from my vaccine, does that mean that my immune system was strong and didn't need to mount as big a defense?
This is a great question. I get this question quite a bit. You know, people like myself, I had the vaccine. I had really, really no side effects.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I just had a sore arm. That was all I had with Pfizer vaccine.
You know, welcome to the club, because it's about half the people have that. So, yeah, having side effects has nothing to do with how well the vaccine worked.
Okay. All right. Very good. 312-981-7200. Questions for Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern. 708 says, I'm a senior who's fully vaccinated. Is it safe to go to a wedding with a couple hundred people in June in Wisconsin? Ooh, that couple of hundred people part just scared me when I read that.
It's safe to go, but you're going to have to practice the mitigations with the mask and the social distancing.
So because of the number of people?
The number, it's just too big and too many people you don't know. So the guidance that the CDC has released last week, just the week before, is that, you know, family gatherings, you know, even if it includes children, if all the adults are vaccinated, it's okay to not have a mask. A huge gathering like this with people outside of your family, you don't know if they're at risk. You don't even know if they've all had the vaccine.
Right.
This is not considered safe at this particular point. So they're going to have to practice all the usual social distancing. And if they can't promise that, then they shouldn't go.
Several people on our text line asking, is it okay to eat at a restaurant if you are fully vaccinated?
Yes, it is. It does give you some risk, again, a low amount of risk. But if you're fully vaccinated, the server is wearing a mask, and you wear a mask into the restaurant. You take your mask off while you're eating, and then you put it on when you're done and you leave. It should be okay. I mean, that is approved behavior at this particular point, and that's why the restaurants are opening and they're increasing their capacity.
Someone at the 847 area code is asking about the location at which you get your vaccine. My shot was a bit lower than my muscle. Is it still effective?
giving a shot for a vaccine is a pretty easy procedure. Your muscle is probably a lot bigger than what you think it is. I would really find it hard to believe that the vaccinator missed the muscle completely. If they didn't get it in the muscle, that does have a big effect on the efficacy. But I think that would be highly unlikely.
Let's go to Nancy on the phone line, 312-981-7200. Hi, you're on with Dr. Robert Murphy from Northwestern.
Good morning. Have a question about friends who are not getting the vaccine. Want to get together. We are fully vaccinated. Is that safe for us to be with them?
No. It's really not. And they need to get vaccinated. I mean, if you get together with them, you got to stay 6 feet away and double mask.
Right.
Not that much fun.
And they do not seem to take it lightly that they're not getting vaccinated. And she has a background in bacteriology in a local hospital.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to convince her otherwise. So I guess we just put the friendship on hold.
Yeah, you do. You do. And, you know,
okay.
It's not. You bring up a really good point. You know, there's a lot of healthcare workers that don't want to take the vaccine for whatever reason. You would think it would be 99%. It's not. There are a lot of people like your friend. And unfortunately, you know, they got to get with the program. I mean, this is a pandemic and this thing is potentially lethal. And I think you said it correctly yourself. You know, this friendship has to go on hold until they change their mind. That may actually change their opinion.
Right.
So good for you.
Yeah, well, thank you so very much for all of your help. Appreciate it from both of you.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for your call.
You.
This is Dan. You're on WGN.
Hi. I have a question for the doctor. My wife and I both had our double shots. Where are we on having to get a booster shot come the fall?
The variants.
So the companies are working on the booster shot, making the vaccine a little bit different so it covers some of these variants. The data for when the booster is going to be needed, we don't know yet. We call it a sentinel cohort. These are the people that were the tens of thousands of people that were in the clinical trials. They're going to be followed for 2 years. About 2.5 weeks ago, they reported on the 6 month after the vaccination data, and it looked great. No new cases, the antibodies and other forms of immune measurement look great. And so we're good for 6 months. Then you're going to hear every 3 months the update on that cohort. So you just have to keep reading the newspapers and the reports, and you'll see when you're going to need a vaccine. The companies are working on the booster now. So it's definitely going to be after 6 months.
Yeah, you have to stay up on this because, as we've learned, Doctor, while you are the experts on this, you're still learning new things every day.
Every day.
Amazing. That's why we appreciate the updates. That's why I appreciate when you come on with us here. And we look forward to seeing you every morning right after the 7 o'clock news on WGN TV. Dr. Robert Murphy professor of infectious diseases, Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. I hope you have a great day today, doctor. Thank you.
Yeah, I will. It's so beautiful out. WGN.